Grace and peace to each one of you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is a blessing and a privilege to see each one of you again. For the scripture here this morning that I'd like to share with you and springboard off of, I invite you to turn to Isaiah 45, 45th chapter of Isaiah. And let's just pray again before we get into this. Heavenly Father, we bless you continually again. We thank you for this word. Thank you for this assembly. I pray you would minister the word to each one of our hearts. Illuminate our hearts and minds. Bless this assembly this morning. May it be fruitful. May it be inspiring, encouraging. Prepare us for the rest of life to be faithful to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. So here we are in Isaiah 45. I'll start reading. Thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden, to subdue nations before him, and I will loose the loins of kings, to open before him the two-leaved gates, and the gates shall not be shut. I will go before thee, and make the crooked places straight. I will break in place in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. And I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which called thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. For Jacob my servant's sake and Israel mine elect, I have even called thee by thy name. I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. Here is a prophecy of something marvelous that would happen later in time that is now far in history. But at this time when this was written, it was 200 years before this Cyrus. Critics of the Bible and critics of prophecy have tried to place it at a later date, but studies have shown that this was written about 200 years before it took place. So what happened, the Israelites had fallen far from God over time, and repeatedly God sent prophets to warn them of pending judgment if they would not repent and turn back to him. And as time went on and they didn't repent, God, in the fullness of time, sent the king of Babylon to plunder Israel, and I don't have the time to go into great detail, but many of those that weren't killed at that time were taken into Babylon and taken captive. And God had said it would be 70 years of captivity. There they were, slaves, held in bondage by a great, powerful empire. Babylon was a great city, very strong at that time, had great walls all about. The idea to escape was nothing. You weren't going to escape. There you were, captive in Babylon. And Jerusalem was destroyed. That glorious city, the city of God, that they had known and been proud of and held in high esteem, was destroyed. God, in his goodness, gave them this word that he would, in time, he would raise up Cyrus to deliver them. I'm going to maybe read a little further. Verse 5, I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. A little bit about this King Cyrus. He was not a godly man by any way. He was an idol worshiper. He tried to please all gods as much as he saw possible. He was a mighty king. He overtook Babylon and fulfilled God's purpose. But let's keep reading. Verse 7, I form the light. This is God speaking. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Now, this creating evil is not God creating evil of sin, but the evil of punishment, as the Israelites experienced there, having been taken captive. Drop down, ye heavens, from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, and let them bring forth salvation. And let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it. Woe unto him that striveth with his maker. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him that fashioneth it, What makest thou? Or thy work, he hath no hands. Woe unto him that saith unto his father, What begettest thou? Or to the woman, What hast thou brought forth? Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, and his Maker, Ask me of things to come concerning my sons, and concerning the work of my hands. Command ye me. I have made the earth, and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their host have I commanded. I have raised him up in righteousness, and I would direct all his ways. He shall build my city, and he shall let go my captives, not for price nor reward, saith the Lord of hosts. Again, still speaking of Cyrus here. Thus saith the Lord, the labor of Egypt and merchandise of Ethiopia and the Sabaeans, men of stature, shall come over unto thee, and they shall be thine. They shall come after thee. In chains they shall come over, and they shall fall down unto thee. They shall make supplication unto thee, saying, Surely God is in thee, and there is none else. There is no God, or no other God. Verily, thou art a God that hidest thyself, O God of Israel, the Savior. They shall be ashamed, and also confounded, all of them. They shall go to confusion together that are makers of idols. But Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. Ye shall not be ashamed, nor confounded, world without end. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He created it, not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, Seek ye me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. Assemble yourselves and come. Draw near together, ye that are escaped of the nations. They have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven image and pray unto a God that cannot save. Tell ye, and bring them near, yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I, the Lord? And there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear. Surely, shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength, even to him shall men come, and all that are incensed against him shall be ashamed. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall glory. Now there's certainly a lot more here probably than I can bring out or even that I understand at this time, but I'd like to focus on the captivity of Israel and God's deliverance through Cyrus. So here they were, like I said, they had been taken captive, and they were there 70 years. Can you imagine being removed from all that is familiar, being removed from perhaps many of these captives had lost a lot of their family or relatives, and taken to a strange land, a strange language, a strange culture, a place of much idol worship, of much ungodliness, and being there 70 years. And it seems like at least there were many that kept their identity as God's people. I can't but imagine that many didn't, but I don't know that. We know of Daniel. He was very faithful through this time, these 70 years. I don't know if he lived to the end of the 70 years, and perhaps he did. I'm not sure. I didn't really study into that. But it probably looked pretty impossible to ever be delivered from this place. But God, in his omnipotence, in his sovereignty, in his powerful ways, brought a king, again an ungodly king, from another land that also was an idol worshiper, did not know the true God, and in God's all-powerful way, brought him in, changed the government of Babylon, and worked it in Cyrus' heart to please the God of Israel. Again, he was trying to please all gods as much as he felt like he could, but he realized in his heart, and how much was Cyrus and how much was just God moving in his heart, realized that here was a God that wasn't being served the way he should be in his mind. And he opened the door for all who will, whosoever will, in Babylon of the Jews, to pull up their roots, to take possession of various things, and even vessels that had been in the temple of God before, 70 years before. He gave them these vessels of gold and silver and precious stones and said, go back to Jerusalem. Rebuild Jerusalem. Rebuild the temple. Serve your God there. It's an amazing, marvelous story of God's moving in mysterious and marvelous ways. Surely Israel, throughout those 70 years, could have said, why, God? Why did you do this? Why? And God says, woe unto him that striveth with his maker. But surely Israel was tempted to do that. But in the fullness of time, just as God had said hundreds of years before, he raised up a man that he had even named before to open up that way to go back. Now here we are today. How does that apply to us? We also have, there are two kingdoms. And in this world, there is a kingdom that is anti-God, that is against God, that is worshiping all sorts of false gods. And every one of us, as we go through this life, have that within us, have that in our hearts to go towards that kingdom and to find ourselves drawn to that kingdom of darkness and involving ourselves in it. There's none good, no, not one. We are all gone astray. Every one of us are sinful by nature and find ourselves involved, taken captive, and involved in that mighty city, the city of this world, with its mighty walls and its idolatry and lustful pleasures and misery that goes along with that. And God, like he did in this time, he raised up someone from a very unlikely place. And in his amazing way, opened up a door to go back that just wasn't seen before, or just couldn't have been imagined. But God opened it up where very freely anyone could go back. But it was up to each individual. As I read it, he said, whosoever will, whoever desires to get from Babylon back to Jerusalem and get back into God's work there, could go. Those that didn't want to, didn't have to. And it's the same for us. We can be all wrapped up in Babylon, but God has opened that door to go back. Go back to Jerusalem. Go back to God's land, God's city, God's work, and build. And what had been destroyed before and looked like there was nothing there to build with, God even, through Cyrus, sent material back, sent resources to get this work going. So what looked like impossible, God made possible. Maybe there are those here that are within those walls of Babylon and just can't see a way out and just can't see that there's even anything over there at Jerusalem to be worth going after. But God, for us too, raised up someone from a very unlikely place, a poor carpenter's son from Nazareth, and opened the way, and the way is open, but it's whoever wants to, whosoever will. Just where there was no way before, no way of deliverance, just complete captivity, now there's the doors wide open. Whoever wants to can go back there. I want to read two portions of Scripture in Revelation. The first one is Revelation 18. Revelation 18, 1 to 10. Here we are looking at the end of Babylon. And then we look at another scripture where we get an insight in Jerusalem. And we have our choice. Let's look at it. Revelation 18, 1 to 10. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works. In the cup which she hath filled to her double. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen, and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, Alas, alas. That great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is that judgment come. Now let's turn a couple chapters further to Revelation 21, again reading 1 to 10. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with me, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful, and unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, and I will show the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Just like back then, God gave a window to the Jews. If they would listen, believe, gave a window of glorious things to come. That carrying away into Babylon and that living year after year after year in bondage in Babylon wasn't the end of the story. There's more coming. And there were some who believed. I don't know how many, but they had a choice throughout that difficulty, throughout that drudgery, throughout all those years, to believe that God was not done. God would come and deliver. And this morning, today, God is doing the same thing here. He, not only will he deliver, the way of deliverance is already here, but he also gives us a window into the future and into what is yet to come. And I just read two places here that give us a glorious window into the future of Babylon and its destruction, and of Jerusalem and its glorious beauty and wonders. We don't need to be in bondage. We don't need to be in Babylon. God has opened the way through Jesus to go back, whether it's going back now, going back into his glories and his beauties and his wonderful things that he has prepared for us now. And maybe you're sitting in Babylon and looking back at Jerusalem saying, it's destroyed. There's nothing there. It's not beautiful. Babylon has all this fun stuff to do. Maybe that's where you're at. There probably were people back then that did that. I don't know. What if there were? Well, today, and I don't know the history of Babylon, but there's been a lot of destruction. I don't think it's a modern city. I'm not sure, but the old city has lain in ruins for ages. But Jerusalem is still a city, still prospering. People live there, and God is still at work there. And there's so much more to come yet. So don't sit in unbelief and saying it's better in Babylon. For these people, it probably was for a little bit. The day they set off to go to Jerusalem probably would have been a lot easier just to live life as normal in Babylon than to pick up and go trudging back through with their burdens. But in faith, they went. And the rewards were great. The rewards were there. Where are you at today? Are you in short-sightedness, in lack of faith, feeling like it's better in Babylon? Or are you looking to the future in faith and looking to God's deliverer and believing that God isn't done? God has wonderful things coming yet, and I want to be a part of it. I'm going to get up out of Babylon, and I'm going to go to Jerusalem, and I'm going to be involved in his work, and I'm going to be in Revelation 21 in the New Jerusalem rather than in Revelation 18. In the destruction of Babylon. Which will you choose? Let's go for Jerusalem.